Welcome to the Home Care Hub, a podcast series for the Home Care Advocacy Network. We're here today with author and good friend of HCAN, Mike Frank. Mike, welcome to the program.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
Mike, today what we wanted to discuss with you is, as we think about the role of the leader in an organization and the pursuit of great culture in organizations, there's a role that the CEO plays. And so we wanted to delve in a little bit and get your perspective on the role of the CEO, especially after everything that the world has kind of come through in 2019, 2020, big changes, massive kind of terraforming of certain industries as well. And so we would love to, you know, just kind of get to it and say, if you were the CEO on the leadership team in a company today, inside of the aging services space, and maybe it could be any space, but because we cater to aging services, what are some of the opportunities for growth of your organization? What should that CEO be actively looking to do at this point?
Yeah, great question. I really think that's the key question in terms of how do you move forward, is what is my role as the leader, the CEO of an organization? And I have three thoughts on that. One is, because of technology and because of COVID even, big shift happening in that area, meaning we're finding more and more people are working remotely. We're finding better communication technology tools like we're using today.
Absolutely.
And just all the restrictions because of COVID and travel and everything else, that role is shifting a little bit. Mm-hmm. Parts of it. There are parts that stay consistent. So there's really three things that I think every CEO needs to really, really do what I call groove it. Meaning by groove, meaning this ought to be just something that oozes out of you that you hardly even have to think about it. It just happens. One is you got to be the storyteller. You got to be the guy who's, you know, always telling people what the vision of this organization is, okay? So the definition of vision for me has always been, what's the preferred picture of tomorrow? Meaning, what would I love to see happen? What would I prefer to see happen? And you just keep casting that vision. Can't do it enough. Every meeting. So that's casting the vision.
That's great.
Second is culture. Every single organization, whether it's two employees or 500,000, like I worked at with PepsiCo, every organization has a culture. And if you don't define it and work on it, something fills in the vacuum. Mm. And a lot of times what fills in the vacuum is toxic things, meaning you get some, you know, people that are not being, you know, managed or, you know, held accountable, or they're running rampant or whatever. Or it could be toxic from the standpoint that your behavior as the CEO is inconsistent. Mm-hmm. And that creates a feeling of, you know, I don't feel safe here. I don't feel like I can trust, because this guy blows with the wind wherever he wants to blow. So the way I think about culture is, it's almost like you have this this garden. Think about a raised, you know, flower bed, mm-hmm. or vegetable, you know, plot. And, you know, it's defined. It isn't just rambling, but it's defined. But what happens in that raised flower bed is critically important in terms of your contribution, meaning this, but you got to make sure that you've got the right soil in there, that the right nutrients are in there, that it's getting plenty of water, it's getting plenty of whatever it causes for the fruit or the flowers or the vegetables to grow out of that, right? So your job is to resource that raised flower bed. Right? Meaning by resource, meaning, I mean this, that there's money to grow. So you got you're worried about, you know, focusing on the capital. You've defined what success looks like in terms of customer service. You've told people what you expect out of them in terms of behavior. you bring in whatever it is that soil needs in order to produce the right kind of crop, the right kind of fruit, right? And so that becomes a big, big part of the role of the CEO. And that's true in healthcare or any industry, is you've got to be the one that defines the culture, okay? And then the third area I would just say is that in the beginning, as you're building your company, it is critically important that you are the gatekeeper of who gets in the door, meaning you personally have to interview and select and train and develop your first 5 to 10 people. If you delegate that, you're going to end up with a mixed bag.
Interesting.
So think about a gate in terms of, raising animals or, horses or cows.
I know
it
well.
Yeah. So there's a gate and it's usually a narrow gate. They can wander all they want out here, but when you're choosing them to join your organization, they got to come through that gate. And you as the gatekeeper say, I'm not going to take that one. This one's a possibility. Yes, with this one, right?
Right.
Not only are you making a selection decision, but you're also making a decision on how to train them, develop them, instill in them the DNA that you want in your organization. And until you do the first tier, maybe even the second tier, you got to be pretty critically involved in that, because what happens is as you hire more and more people, it's a cascading effect that you get, meaning whoever you hired as the CEO will reflect you. Whoever they hire will reflect them. Mm. So if you didn't pay attention to who that person is, they're going to go out and hire in their own image.
Yeah.
So in the very beginning, you got to instill that, what's the process, what's the criteria, what's the profile of who you want on your team.
Yeah.
And then you can start letting go a little bit of the hiring process.
Got it.
Right? Because now you have confidence that you've hired the right guys, you've instilled something into them, and they're going to go out and hire in their own image, which is fairly close to your image of what you want. Right.
Yep. So you have the DNA established.
Yes. Yeah.
So you've led, and you've led well across all seasons of your life. From the time you were a youth, starting out in business until now, where you're finding yourself really in startup leadership and even nonprofit leadership here in Omaha. You're an author. So you've done a lot in your career. I'm curious, out of those seasons, companies, opportunities, everything from Pepsi to Disney to MFS to when you were at Level 3 and now in startup and nonprofit leadership as well. And you've participated in church leadership as well throughout your career. Where did you see an example of the type of culture that you just explained? Where was it maybe best exemplified? Because it sounds like it comes from a number of different learnings throughout your career.
And it did. Truthfully, a lot of it was just being exposed to some of those successful organizations. But the other was, I became a real student. I became a real student of human performance, meaning what motivates people? What buttons do you have to push to get people to do certain things? So a lot of that was trial and error. And then, probably the organization that I think has been the best, and I'm on their advisory board, it's actually a Christian organization called Youth with a Mission. YWAM is their short name for it.
But sure.
They have 20,000 plus missionaries all around the world, and they do it all without any kind of a real formal structure or legal entity that everything rolls up through. They've created this cohesive movement of people that all are heading in the same direction, and they primarily do it through storytelling.
Yeah.
They send out, they've got a team of elders, I'm included in that team, but they go all around the world and they tell stories about, the early days of YWAM, or, what's our mission here, or what are some of the guys that have these mission bases in Peru? What are they doing that's really successful mm-hmm. that we can bring into Yugoslavia? I mean, it's done through a lot of that storytelling, and it's fascinating because there's no sticks or carrots like we're used to in the business world, where the stick is, if you don't work harder, I'm going to beat you with this to the point where I'm going to beat you out of the organization.
Yeah.
Carrot meaning, you know, that there's rewards here. If you run a little faster, a little harder, you put in more time, give me better performance, there's a nice little carrot for you or a reward. This organization doesn't have that. They've learned how to motivate people mm-hmm. and get people into a place of unity and kind of consistency through storytelling.
Yeah.
That's fascinating to me.
I know a little bit about YWAM, and it feels to me like, and it seems to me that generally speaking, the people who are seeking to enter into a YWAM experience know just that, that they're heading into a unique experience that's going to shape their lives.
Yes.
And there's one thing that's kind of known to every candidate that wants to enter in, and that's they're about to have a very unique experience that's going to have impact on
them. And it's going to be full of adventure.
Yeah.
And there's so many success stories. It's, in fact, this is not a well-known, it's a little bit off the path here a little bit, but if a worldwide disaster ever happens, you know, like nuclear war or whatever, YWAM has more bases in more countries than any other organization on the planet. And it includes United Nations, World Health Organization, Red Cross, you name it. They are totally prepared to help people in the event of a worldwide calamity.
That is inspiring.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah. That is wild. Well, so you touched on something, and we've spoken before about this idea of adventure, and that with adventure, there has to be some element of risk. Yeah. So when you're a leader in the aging services world or just in business in general, this idea of avoidance of risk, preservation of power, et cetera, are very strong themes in a lot of organizations. Mm-hmm. Now, coming out of what we've been through in the world in 2019 and 2020, the world is somewhat terraforming in the world, especially in the world of aging services, technology, healthcare, et cetera. If you are one of those people that's maybe sitting at their home office today, just hoping that everything goes back to normal, what would you say to some of those folks that are just waiting it out so it's just like 2018 again? Mm-hmm. Tell me about what you would say to one of those people that really might have also let's just say it's not going to be laziness, but let's just say there's legitimate fear. Yeah. Maybe they're a little bit, you know, further along in their career and they're thinking like, oh, I can't change that much.
Yeah. Yeah. They feel like they're kind of at a disadvantage because
absolutely. The world has changed now. There might be a number of new things that they have to learn, embrace, do.
Well, first I just say, consider timing. I've been a little early in a few, investments or startups or whatever, where we were a little bit ahead of our time. And so you got to kind of, be one of those individuals that is constantly trying to, figure out where things are moving towards. And there's a term called seeing around the corner, meaning the ones that are really, really going to make a lot of money at this are guys that are willing to try to find out, constantly looking at what's around the corner. And some of that is just what you expose yourself to. I read the Wall Street Journal. And there's a section in the Wall Street Journal every day that's called The Future of Everything. And if you want to just have your creative juices flowing and your mind start to expand a little bit, and they may not just be necessarily related to healthcare, but just on everything, just see how change is constant. Change is going to happen. Change is happening in every single industry.
Yeah.
And absolutely. For you to kind of wishfully think it's all going to go back to normal, think about movie theaters right now.
Right.
Is that ever going back to normal now that we have subscription services, large screen TVs, our own home video scenario, and we can cook popcorn for $2 instead of 20? Those days are gone. There's a term called legacy systems. And legacy systems are the ones that are, you know, entrenched and they're, you know, they've stood the test of time for a couple of decades, but they're all under threat right now.
Yeah.
It was the same way when I was in telecom. Whoever thought AT&T would have to compete in the way they're competing today for anything.
Right.
They're in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
And
I grew up in the 80s, in the late 70s and 80s, primarily throughout my youth. And that's my parents lived through all.
How about retail banking? The banks, you know, on the corners used to be filled with all kinds of employees in those banks. There's nobody in those banks anymore.
Yeah.
And there probably never will be. The generation that's doing banking right now, they've all learned to do it online. They don't really want to see anybody.
Yeah.
They'll come in and make an appointment if they have to, but it's not like casually I walked in and did my banking for decades. So all that to say is that timing is a big deal. Change is going to happen, and you're going to be left if you're not careful with, you know, kind of reading yesterday's news or thinking you're safe and terms of your career, et cetera, and you may not be safe. And so hate to see you get caught in a situation where you're not embracing the change. You're not hungry.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I mentioned earlier that the Steve Jobs video, he ends that particular YouTube commencement address with how you have to stay hungry and you have to stay curious.
Yeah.
And that's the times we live in.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's never going to be a straight line success path for most people.
Right.
It's going to be a little zig. It's going to be a zag. It's going to be a zig. It's going to be a zag. You got to flow with the times. I'm 67. I'm learning new things. I'm doing a lot of these podcasts and I'm doing a lot of the Zoom and I'm doing a lot of things I never thought I'd be doing with the use of technology or whatever. So if an old guy like me can learn some new tricks, I think you can as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's inspiring. It really is. And I know that you've served on, you know, you've served on leadership teams, you've done startups, you've done a lot, all very kind of purpose, you know, with kind of your own purpose in mind. One area that I think is interesting is, and it may not be 100% pertinent to everyone who's listening, but is that this idea of how different hierarchies actually mesh together and move forward. So you might be on a board or serving on a board, and that board is over a company that has leadership in place. So tell me and tell our listeners a little bit about maybe those dynamics today with the world facing these big innovations potentially and having to be forced through a lot of those innovations over the last 18 months as well. If you're serving on a board and providing that kind of leadership, how best do you as a board encourage the leadership in companies to take risks, to move innovation forward, because you're limited in terms of your reach if you're on the board, but you want this company to succeed so badly. Tell us a little bit about what you'd recommend or give us some insight into that relationship.
Yeah, so there's been a survey that's been done for several years in a row with CEOs and board members, and they've asked them, What are the characteristics that a successful CEO and senior leadership team have to have in order to succeed and grow their business?
Yeah.
And, you know, you can imagine the kinds of answers they got. But you know what was the one, and it's been this way for several years now, the most consistently cited characteristic that you have to have? Creativity. Nothing grows without.
Wow.
Being creative, meaning you can for a while squeeze one orange and get some juice out of it.
Yeah.
But eventually you're going to have to find something else that you're going to squeeze to get some more juice. And so what that means is that you got to take a little bit of a non-traditional approach and take the blinders off that we've all been living with in some of these legacy systems.
Absolutely.
And give it a fresh start. And so back to culture, a company out of Minneapolis, 3M, you know, for decades has been growing and, you know, doing well. But part of that is they've created a culture that rewards and encourages creativity. Mm. So there's been all kinds of crazy inventions that's come out of that place. And, but that's the one thing that the CEOs have said, if I could clone that in everybody, it would be that, because out of creativity is going to come new ideas and new opportunities.
Absolutely.
And then it takes some judgment, wisdom to figure out which of those really have legs and can we scale?
Yeah.
Versus what are those are just kind of, they're kind of inventions and
yeah,
they don't really go anywhere, you know, or it's too small of a market for us to get involved in. So I would really, really, in fact, this is a new area for me of really, I've been watching a lot of podcasts and YouTube stuff on creativity.
Yeah.
And exactly what is it? And can it be taught? And, you know, how do you harness it into a way that you can, that's useful and yeah, applicable to your business?
Absolutely.
And so I would encourage your listeners out there to really pay attention to that arena, because I'm back to where we started this podcast is, which is in chaos, in turmoil, in uncertainty, there's opportunity.
Absolutely.
And somebody's going to find it.
Absolutely. And if you're a CEO or a leader out there and you want to get a gauge on your team or your board when it comes to just natural inclinations towards creativity, you can actually go to a site called viacharacter.org. And on that site, you'll find a free survey. It will rank your personally held values from 1 to 34. And it's just your own values. So it's not personality and it's not behavior, but it helps bring out what do you actually value and how you operate. And in that it measures things like curiosity, bravery, creativity, cool. Also self-regulation, which most people find themselves low on,
but it's
a great way to get a sense of who you are and maybe how you're maybe not naturally wired as well. And you get a sense of that. We did that with our team. We had everybody on our team about 5 years ago go through the Via Character survey. And then we were able to see what were the common values of our team and what, and the funnest thing was, what things didn't we have on our team?
Right, right.
So like zest was one of those things. It wasn't in anybody's top five. So everybody was very chill.
But see, that's curiosity. That's hunger. When
yeah,
you go after that and really look at it, those are some of the pieces I'm talking about. And the other thing I would tell you about creativity, there's a popular psychological myth out there that says, well, I'm either right brain or left brain. That's not true.
It's true.
That is not true anymore.
Yeah.
Neuroscience, we've come a long way in the last 15 or so years of really understanding how the brain works. And to cop out and say, well, I'm not really, you know, right brain. That's the creative. That's what we've been taught was the creative part of the brain. You know, I'm more, you know, steady Eddie, a linear thinker and, you know, blah, blah, blah. That's just not true.
Yeah.
That we're restricted. You know, God didn't give us a full brain and then say only use part of it.
Yeah.
That just blows my mind that somebody, you know, we bought into that. It's not true. And so study a little bit of the neuroscience if you don't believe me.
I love it.
And you'll find out that we all have that capacity for creativity.
I love it. That's a message of hope as well. Mike, thank you so much for your time. Mike Frank is the author of Prosperity with Purpose, available on Amazon. Great book, very inspiring. And Mike, you have an inspiring life. And you know what? I'm excited for your next season
as
Sage.
All right.
And I'm excited to receive some of that wisdom.
All right.
So
you bet. All right. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Home Care Hub, a podcast series sponsored by the Home Care Advocacy Network. HCAN is a business format franchise system for senior living and entrepreneurs who want to own their own business and make a difference, most importantly, in the lives of their care advocates and seniors. HCAN franchisees provide a range of services from companionship and respite care, personal care services, and dementia care. Contact us at partner@hcanthrive.com to discuss franchise opportunities today. Mike, until we speak again.
All right.
All right. Thanks,
Mike. It's been a pleasure.